Hi, and welcome to Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. My name is Fee Sullivan, Senior Pastor, and I truly want to thank you for joining us today as we study the Word of God. It is our desire that your life be touched today, and we pray that the Lord will speak to you with this message. And at the conclusion of this message, we have some important information for you. Please join me now as we begin our message.
Praise God, we're back, amen. Let's give God a shout of praise. Jesus is worthy, isn't he? How many believe he is worthy to be praised? Oh yes, that's right. God is so good. And I'm excited about, well, first of all, this morning's message. I went before the Lord, and those of you remember Leroy Brown, right? He was a wonderful brother. He was with us for like almost 6.5, 7 years. He went on to be with Jesus. And we held a celebration of life service up in Compton Tuesday. And the Spirit of God is still upon me from that day. And I really feel that God is going to speak to us this morning, because right after that service, at least six of them got a hold of my number, and they want to come down and visit us. Some of the singers even want to come up here and sing. And they really encouraged me, because they said, no one's preaching what you're preaching no more. And so I went before God, and God showed me why. And so I'm hoping that this message will edify us and build and give us an enlightenment to what's happening right now in our country. How many believe our country needs Jesus? Huh? It needs Jesus, doesn't it? Oh, yes, it does. And so I'm going to just a couple announcements. Bishop Trout will be here once again Sunday morning on the 25th. And he always brings a good anointed word. Amen. And we love the brother. He was... just for a short stint, he was my pastor, but his father actually was our pastor about 32 years ago at North Park Apostolic Church, and Bishop Raymond Trout. I remember when he laid hands on me, his father, and he said, there's a call on your life, and God's going to show you exactly what to do when the years come to fruition. And little did I know that it was at least 15 years after that that God had called me to the ministry. And his son, which is Joel David Trout, is a chip off the old block. If you were to have heard the sermons from Bishop Raymond Trout, his father, they were anointed. Right, Brother Art? Brother Art and I, we came from the same, we were from the same cloth. We were birthed out of the same womb. Hallelujah. And that's where I received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. And let me just say this. When I got filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I was never the same. I was never the same. Let me just say this. Hallelujah. Let me just say this. You can accept Christ, receive Christ, and believe, and that's awesome. But when God fills you with the power, he takes you to another place. Hallelujah. He's the one that will hold you now. And he will guide you. He'll lead you. He will empower you. And so I'm going to encourage those who have never been filled with the baptism of the Holy Ghost to press. To press, say, God, I want that gift. It's a gift, and it's freely given. Can I get amen? Amen. Did you know that in Scripture it says that Jesus said it best? He said, if a father who is very sinful can give his son or daughter a fish or a rock or some crummy food, it's in the Word. He said, much more would my Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? All you got to do is ask. Let them fill your mouth. Hallelujah. Jesus. And he will take you to another place. Can I get amen? Amen. Listen, once again, tonight, this is an awesome movie. Some of you that didn't raise your hands, maybe they're about halfway, and maybe you want to just go, yeah, I'll come. I'm telling you, you won't be disappointed, amen? How many were disappointed the first time you saw it? Okay, I didn't see a hand go up, so praise God. It was okay. Amen, praise God. But listen, I'm excited about this message because as I shared with you, and as there was a couple of bishops there from Leroy Brown, I didn't know this. He has a huge church family up there in Pasadena, Compton, and the bishop and the pastors from Omni Ministries that housed and hosted the place, they were all there. And praise God for Sister Jessica, Sister Araceli, Brother Lafayette journeyed up. Brother Jordan was there. And I believe you were there too, right? I'm sorry, what's your first name? Daryl. Yes, Daryl was there. Praise God. Praise God. And before I forget as well, Brother Desmond, you want to come on up? What one of those pastors says, man, you actually gave an altar call at a celebration of life service. I said, listen, Leroy drew you all here and he's preaching his last sermon. I said it boldly. And so this is what this ministry is about. It's saving souls, amen. Getting baptized, getting filled with the Holy Spirit. And on 4th of July, Desmond. There it is, brother. I want to pray for this young man. And let me tell you why I want to pray for this young man. Let me just go back here so we got a clear picture up here. Is he shared with me, he goes, I want to go further with Christ. And he asked me, and I'm privileged. He asked me, can you disciple me? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. So we're going to get together tomorrow night. Amen. We'll be in our studio in the back. Amen. You know, the Bible says that we are to raise each other up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. And we are to strengthen the men. And I believe that, us men need to step up. Amen. Women got their, they love to gather, these women. Man, you know, throughout the Word of God, they were always by Jesus' feet, right? Yes. And where was the men at? Oh, running away. Hey, nowhere in Scripture you said the women ran away. Huh? The men ran away. What, wasn't that you with Jesus? No. Oh, my God. That's a revelation in itself. The women are steadfast. They're strong in the power of his might. So let's pray for Desmond. Father, I thank you for this young man. I pray, Lord, that you would just carry him, Lord, to many places, that you will show him things he's never seen, things he's never heard. I pray, Lord, that the word of God would just be revelation knowledge to him. Those things will be brand new, yet they were always there for him. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would take him higher and higher, faith by faith, glory to glory. And Lord, that you would use him mightily. I pray, God, that he would be one day, let's write this down right now on record, that one day he will be bringing a message behind this pulpit. Hallelujah. In your timing, God, raise him up in the fear and admonition of the Lord. So, God, to be the glory. And we thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen. 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 Hallelujah. Thank you, brother. There's another young man. I think he stepped out for a moment. Where'd he go? Adrian. Okay. He was the gentleman that, he was a young, that played, I told him this morning, oh, you're Tony Abbott Jr. Oh, you guys didn't get that one. It just went whoo, right over. Okay, so he was the one that was playing the guitar this morning. And I believe there's a strong call in his life. I really do. And I believe that him too will be preaching and teaching. Amen. Amen. So are we ready? Are we ready to go? And I hope God will give his ears to hear. Amen. So listen, if you have your cell phones, please put them on the off position. Amen. Or silent. Amen. And so allow me to go before the throne room of grace. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we thank you for this day. For this is the day that the Lord has made. And we will rejoice and be glad in it. Lord, I'm asking now, God, that you would give us ears to hear and eyes to see what the Spirit is saying to the church. And we bless you and praise you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, amen. I've entitled this morning's message, Jesus, Our Only Hope. Jesus is our only hope. And as I sat before the Lord this week, and ever since Tuesday, God's been stirring in my spirit about the only voice left, especially in this nation, that will preach, teach, and speak righteousness. Can I get amen? And God wants us to be strong in the power of his might because we are living in prophetic days. Can I get amen? God said that we would see so many things right before he returns. Now, there are scoffers like in 2 Peter that says, man, they've been saying that forever. And where is he? Well, I'm here to let you know he's around the corner now. Can I get amen? He's around the corner. And we need to be about our Father's business. And the things that I'm going to show you up here is reality. These are facts, not fiction. Can I get amen? But despite of what is taking place, the word of God is clear. Where sin abounds, grace much more abounds. Can I get amen? And so we're going to see that even though the devil will show us so many things, God is greater than old slew foot. Can I get amen? He's greater. Hallelujah. And so we're going to look back to look ahead in this study, in this message. And I'm praying that the Holy Ghost will have his way. And I believe he's already leaving the runway right now. Can I get amen? I'm just holding like this. All right, God, have your way. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Proverbs chapter 14. And we're going to read verses 31 through 35. And then we're going to have the Holy Ghost have his way. Can I get amen? And it reads, he who oppresses the poor reproaches his maker, but he who honors him has mercy on the needy. The wicked is banished in his wickedness, but the righteous has a refuge in his death. What? Verse 33, wisdom rests in the heart of him who has understanding, but what is in his heart of fools is made known. So in other words, those who are foolish, God will expose them. Hallelujah. Now here's the key for us as a church and for this nation. Say this with me. Righteousness exalts a nation. Say that again. Righteousness exalts a nation. But sin is a reproach to any people. The king's favor is toward a wise servant, but his wrath is against him who causes shame. My goodness, my goodness. Saints of God, we have to look back to see how God dealt with evil rulers and when nations turn to dark, gross sins. God had to deal with them. And as we all know the word of God, the Bible says Jesus is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Can I get amen? God doesn't change. I hope you know. You know, the culture changes. We change, but God doesn't change. He changes not. Can I get amen? And I'm here to let us know that when God said that he would separate the light from the darkness and he would send his angels to separate the sheep from the goat, it's going to get done. Can I get amen? This is why the church, hallelujah, needs to be the church and not play church anymore. Can I get amen? Oh, that's right. God showed me, and what those people were telling me, saying, man, we don't hear these messages no more. You know why? Because the culture has infiltrated the church. They have left a crack in their armor. And now, old Slewfoot somehow has gotten in and has muzzled the preachers.
No, I'm not going to do it. I don't want to offend nobody.
Wow. So, saints, when wicked rulers reign over nations, the result is always that people of those nations will be oppressed, depressed, and groan for great changes. How many want to see a change? Or do you want to be removed from this country? Oh, no, he gave it to us, didn't he? God gave it to us. So we're the last voice, hallelujah, to cry aloud. And so we got to look in God's word to see specifically how God deals with evil rulers. So if you have your Bibles, turn with me to 2 Kings 21. I'll have the word up here right now. We're going to look real briefly on the life of Manasseh. Hallelujah. Not Massa. Manasseh. Hallelujah. That's right. Massa is for the tamales later. Thank you, Jesus. Are we there, 2 Kings? Let's read this. Manasseh was 12 years old when he became king, and he reigned 55 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Hephzah. And here's the key. Now look at verse 2. He did evil in the sight of the Lord, according to the abominations of the nations whom the Lord had cast out before the children of Israel. Meaning, when God told them to take the land, God drove out those inhabitants around there that were idolaters. They were wicked. They were doing abominations, and God cleared them out. But look at this king, Manasseh. He did otherwise. Let's continue with this. For look at this. For he rebuilt the high places what Hezekiah, his father, had destroyed. Hezekiah destroyed these idols. He destroyed these things of abomination. Look at this. He raised up altars for Baal. Listen, if you have a note pen and a pad, write down this word Baal. I'm coming back to it. I'm coming back to this word Baal. B-A-A-L. It was satanic worship. I want you, you got to catch this message today. Hallelujah. Thank you. And made a wooden image, and Ahab, king of Israel, had done. And he worshiped all the host of heaven and served them. He also built altars in the house of the Lord. Meaning, he came in and brought abominations in the church. Jesus, help us. Look at this. He brought abominations into the house of God. He also made his son pass through the fire. You know what that meant? He offered his son and burned him to death. My goodness. He practiced soothsaying, used witchcraft, consulted spiritists and mediums. There's churches right now that are giving you these little tarot cards guised as scripture. My goodness, and people flock out to that. Oh, it's like reading a horoscope that you end up in a dead end. Can I get amen? And look at this. He did much evil in the sight of the Lord to provoke him to anger. Did you know that you can get God mad? Huh? That's what the word of God says. You can get God mad. Let's go to verse 7. He even set a carved image of Asherah. Look at that he made. In the house in which the Lord had also said to David and to Solomon his son, in this house and in Jerusalem, which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, I will put my name forever. And I will not make the feet of Israel wander anymore from the land which I gave their fathers, only if they are careful to do to all the things I have commanded them and according to all the law that my servant Moses had commanded them. So God made a precedence. God made an order. God told them what to do. But Manasseh was an evil king. Now look at this. And they paid no attention. What? They paid no attention. And Manasseh seduced them to do more evil than the nations whom the Lord had destroyed before the children of Israel. And the Lord spoke by his servants, the prophets, saying, because Manasseh, king of Judah, has done these abominations, he has acted more wickedly than all the Amorites who were before him, and has also made Judah sin with his idols. Let me just say this. You know how you can get out of favor with God? Allow the devil to dupe you to sin. Then God will withdraw his spirit from you until you get right. God will not dwell in darkness. God will not dwell in sin. Can I get amen? Amen. And a lot of times we think we're doing the right thing and we are deceived. Jesus said in the last days, even the elect would be deceived. My goodness. Jesus, help us. Look at verse 12. Therefore, thus says the Lord God of Israel, behold, I am bringing such calamity upon Jerusalem and Judah. Meaning, enough is enough. I'm going to chastise them now. Look at that. My goodness. That whoever hears of it, both his ears will tingle. Your ears tingling right now? Because God's going to do something in our nation. I've had three dreams in a row. Never had them like that before. I'll share with you in a little bit. Look at this. And I will stretch over Jerusalem the measuring line of Samaria and the plummet of the house of Ahab. I will wipe Jerusalem as one wipes a dish, wiping it and turning it upside down. Verse 14. So I will forsake the remnant of my inheritance and deliver them into the land of their enemies. What? In other words, I don't care what you've done, Israel. I don't care of all the kings that rose up, but because of these gross and dark sins, I'm going to destroy you despite of your good. So in other words, he doesn't weigh out good and evil. But when you turn to the abomination things of God and have no fear of God. There's people, let me just say this. There's people walking around with no fear of God. They flaunt their homosexuality. They don't care. This is my husband. This is my wife. They don't care. There's no more shame. And the pulpits of America are silent. Oh, that's right. But what I'm going to show you is going to be facts, not fiction. My goodness. Because they have done evil in my sight, verse 15, and have provoked me to anger since the day their fathers came out of Egypt, even to this day. Moreover, Manasseh shed very much innocent blood, meaning he was leading the Planned Parenthood movement of that day. My goodness, much innocent blood, till he had filled Jerusalem from one end to the other. And besides his sin by which he made Judah sin in doing evil in the sight of the Lord. Did you know that some people can entice you to sin because they know they're in darkness and they're trying to bring you with them? And then God will have to chastise you. What I'm going to show you now is fact, not fiction. Can I get amen? This is the condition right now as we speak. Because if God had to harshly deal with Israel, this is for our learning. This is for our understanding. This is for, we should never forget what God has done. Can I get amen? Let's start with this. Remember Baal? I told you to write down Baal. This ark now was a satanic entrance to a satanic temple and is sitting right in front of the Capitol building now. It's a monument there in Washington. And there are many witches and warlocks in that place. No one's talking about that. It's right there. And there's people going, oh, look at this. They're just taking the picture. Oh, look at this ancient relic. No. You know how many people were thrown in the fire after they crossed that threshold? And now it's right there. Go ahead, Google it. It's there. Pastor Fee ain't going to put up here anything that's fantasy. This is fact. There's Baal worship there in our capital. Lord have mercy. Look at this. I'm going to show you something that's so diabolical. They brought this into the capital of Chicago, Illinois. It's called the Knowledge of the Greatest Gift, and you can't read it from there. In that little circle with the satanic emblem, it says, the Satanic Temple, Chicago. And the moment they brought that in to their city, the moment they brought that in and started worshiping and allowing that thing that's an abomination unto God, these people up here have already been shot and killed. Since January of this year, these people, they have a face. They're a brother. They're a son. They're a father to someone. Killed in Chicago. And the average death is 5 to 6 per week. And they have no regard for life. There is so much gang warfare there. And ever since they brought that temple in there, a darkness has covered that city. This is not political. This is spiritual. And the devil wants to have his way. But the pulpits are silent. They won't show you truth. They won't tell you what time it is. It's time to rise up in faith. It's time to call these things out. Can I get amen? It's time to fast and pray. When's the last time you prayed at the altar? Oh God. Oh God, help us. Look at this. On camera, they're just with guns, just shooting. All three of them have guns. And the reason why innocent ones are getting killed, because they don't know how to fire an arm. They'll go upside down like this. They'll just shoot. Innocent babies are being killed at an alarm rate. And now, the mayor of Chicago has passed a bill that the police officers cannot pursue them by foot no more. So they go plap, 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 and just walk away. Lord, help us. Ever since they brought that temple in there. My goodness. Look at this. You all know this. We just read Manasseh. He shed the most blood during that time. 70 million babies aborted now and counting in our nation. And guess what Biden passed? This is the latest bill. He's allowing the FDA now to sell the body parts. See, they were doing it before it was legal. Now it's legal. Help us, Jesus. You know, AstraZeneca, that's the third vaccination. If you look at the ingredients, and there's a whole bunch of medical numbers on there, one of those numbers, if you Wikipedia it, they are cells from aborted lungs of little babies. It's in that vaccination. Oh, yes. We're living in that time. We're living in a time right now that everyone's silent. It's like their heads in the sand and no one's even praying for our country. Now it's not one day. Now it's not one week. Now it's a whole month of homosexual celebration. And this is New York City. God showed me. I asked God. I said, God, Why do the males have a distorted look when you look at them? Their faces are distorted. Not just because they have that femininity to them, but they have a weird look. And God showed me clearly, those are demons that have taken place. And it's manifesting in the flesh now. Jesus said it would be like the days of Lot and Noah before he returns. And then Lot's day, hallelujah, man, two angels came to save Lot and his family out of destruction because God was going over with Abraham. Is there 50 righteous? I won't destroy them. Is there 40 righteous? I won't destroy. It whittled down to there was no one righteous. And that's the picture of us today. The Bible says in Romans, there is none righteous, none that does right. Can I get amen? But it's God's grace that came and pulled Lot out. And the angels came. And as soon as they appeared before the city, the Sodomites in Sodom said, Lot, bring them out. We want to know them. And if you do a Hebraic study on the word know them, it's not, hey, they wanted to sodomize them. So Lot came out and said, please, he was crying out, please don't do this wicked thing. Don't do this wicked thing. He even said, I'll give you my daughters. Take them instead. And they crashed the door down. And then the angels blinded them all. Took Lot and his family out. And he rained down fire and brimstone. You think God won't do that again? Because listen, if he doesn't judge a nation that has totally has given themselves over to the devil, he would have to go back to Sodom and Gomorrah and give them an apology. Do you see that happening? I don't. The banks. Capital One. I walked into my bank, Union Bank. It was pasted all over the place inside. What does that have to do with my finances? Okay. These banks contribute to this movement. So your money that's in the savings account is going to these organizations. Lord have mercy. Help us, Jesus. This is time to wake up. I know this is not a popular message. I know this is not tiptoe through the tulip message. I just want to feel good. Well, there's other places you could go. And you can receive those kind of, I just want to feel good. No, the church needs to pray. The church needs to fast. The church needs to call out what is relevant today. My goodness, look at this. They're burning down the cities. Chicago, Seattle, New York, lighting cities on fire. Oregon, Portland. And the law's not doing nothing. Let me just say this. Some of you are hardworking people. Can I get an amen? Do you have any family members that maybe have a storefront that maybe sell, you know, merchandise and or a wonderful establishment, a business? How would you like to have this happen? Busting the windows and stealing everything in it. And no one doing nothing about it. Help us, Jesus. How many of us need help? How many of us need help when we see these things, right? And so God deals harshly with nations throughout history that fall into these abominations. Because the Bible says that in the last days there will be lawlessness. There'll be rumors of wars and rumors of war. There'll be earthquakes in all places. There'll be pestilence. We just came out of a pandemic. Pestilence that will kill people. And look how many people died. See, we're not seeing what's in front of us. It's almost like the devil put a CPAP machine and we're snoring. Just stay asleep. I know that's harsh. My brother sent me this, my brother David. My brother David is an investigator for the DA's office. Been in law enforcement for 35 years. This is one tunnel, just one, coming from Mexico into the United States. They dug tunnels to come in here. Now, one would think, wow, look at all the drugs coming through. No, you know what my brother told me is what's passing through there? Sex trafficking. Little innocent kids who were being kidnapped from other countries are being smuggled through there, and these wealthy men on the other side in our country are paying to have them. Where have we gone? Some of them are politicians. Some of them are in high places. Some of them are so wealthy that they can have lawyers to protect them. Jesus, help us. I know this is not a popular message, but God showed me, man, you need to cry aloud because something is about to take place unawares, and it's going to be a suddenly. There's a suddenly coming. And so God said, get the people just to prepare their heart to meet him. Because our only protection is Jesus. He's our only covering. He's the only one that can keep us from being destroyed. Can I get amen? Amen. And so, who has the right character, vision, detail, substantive, serious plans for change in our nation? It's the pulpits across America. It's not a politician. Politicians have come and gone. It's still a mess. On both sides, three sides, whatever. Democratic, Republican, Libertarian, they're all the same. You know what? They're just gonna do whatever more money comes in. If money comes in, I'm gonna just sway to this agenda. But if money comes this way, I'm gonna sway to that. They don't care about us. Can I get amen? And so the Bible says, righteousness exalts a nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. Now look what Solomon, King David wrote this. It's a prophetic word for us. The nations have sunk down in the pit which they made, in the net which they hid. Their foot is caught. The Lord is known by the judgment he executes. The wicked is snared in the work of his own hands. Meditation. The wicked shall be turned into hell. And all nations that forget God. Let me just read that again, that last verse 17. The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all the nations that forget God. Now, you got to look at that word nation. We think it's a country. No, it's ethnicity. It's black, white, Filipino, Mexican, Caucasian, you name it. We're United States is a melting pot of every nationality. Can I get amen? And so it says the nations that forget God shall be turned into hell. My goodness. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. We need Jesus. And so I'll tell you what God needs to raise up across the pulpits is America needs a Josiah. We need a Josiah. That's right. A president can't save America. They've tried and failed throughout the whole history of our country. But leadership matters. Pulpits across this nation matters. We're the only last voice to cry aloud. We're the last voice. And if they take away our laws to preach, you can almost say, this nation is done. The one-time king of Judah, whom the Bible describes as the most humble, strong, wise, impressive leader of all time, was Josiah. Look at this. Josiah and the road to reform and revival. That's right. You see, saints, at a time when the Hebrew prophets like Jeremiah were warning of the coming judgment of the people of Jerusalem and Judah because they refused to read, listen, or to obey the word of God, the Lord mercifully raised up a leader who did, in fact, loved the Lord his God and loved his word. And his name was Josiah, a godly king. Josiah passionately sought the Lord in his private life and pursued bold, sweeping reforms in the public life to get the Jewish nation to be turned around and headed back into the right direction. And as a result, saints of God, the Lord in his sovereignty graciously chose to forestall the judgment. In other words, God was ready to come in and send the Babylonians to destroy Israel. But God said, there's some people I still want to have mercy on. So he raised up Josiah. Thank you, God. And so Josiah, hallelujah, thank you, God. During his tenure, there was power, and the Jewish people experienced one of the greatest periods of repentance, reform, and revival in their ancient history. And this is what this country needs again. Can I get amen? Amen. We need to be revived. We need to have revival to come. But repentance first needs to take place. Let's look at Josiah right now. Let's look at this. Josiah was 8 years when he became king, and he reigned 31 years in Jerusalem. His mother's name was Jedidiah, the daughter of Adai of Bozkath. Thank you, God. I only have to say that once. And he did what was, look at this. And he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. Remember, Manasseh did evil. But Josiah did right in the sight of the Lord and walked in the ways of his father David. He did not turn aside to the right or to the left. Praise God. Look at this. Now it came to pass in the 18th year of King Josiah that the king sent Shaphan, the scribe, the son of Azaliah, the son of Meshulam, to the house of the Lord, saying, go up to Hilkiah, the high priest, that he may count the money which has been brought into the house of the Lord, which the doorkeepers have gathered from the people. So he gave a command to go up there, and because he wanted to bless all the servants. This guy was a giving guy. He blessed his servants. Praise God. And look at this. And let them deliver it into the hand of those doing the work. You see that? Who are the overseers in the house of the Lord. Let them give it to those who are in the house of the Lord doing the work to repair the damages of the house, to carpenters and builders and masons, and to buy timber and hewn stone to repair the house. Verse 7, however, there need be no accounting made with them of the money delivered into their hand, because they deal faithfully. So in other words, he didn't have to second guess those who were serving under him. He trusted them, and he gave liberally to them because he loved the things of God. Look at this. Then Hilkiah, the high priest, said to Shaphan, the scribe, I have found the book of the law in the house of the Lord. What? And Hilkiah gave the book to Shaphan, and he read it. So Shaphan, the scribe, went to the king, bringing the king the word, saying, your servants have gathered the money that was found in the house and have delivered it into the hand of those who do the work, who oversees the house of the Lord, like Josiah had ordered it. Look at this. Then Shaphan, the scribe, showed the king, showed Josiah, saying, Hilkiah, the high priest, has given me a book. And Shaphan read it before the king. Now, look at this. In verse 11, now it happened when the king heard the words of the book of the law. In other words, Josiah read a prophetic writing, which was there, but it was hidden from him. Now it's being revealed to him. Look at this. And when he read the words of the book of the law, he tore his clothes. Then the king commanded Hilkiah the priest, Akim the son of Shaphan, Achbor the son of Mishiah, Shaphan the scribe, and Isaiah, a servant of the king, saying, look at this, go inquire the Lord for me, for the people and for all Judah concerning the words of this book that has been found. For great is the wrath of the Lord that is aroused against us. Because our fathers have not obeyed the words of this book to do according to all that is written concerning us. He's reading what God was about to do. So Hilkiah the priest, Achim, Achar, Shaphan, Isaiah, and all those guys. Keeper of the wardrobe. Look at this. And Haras, she dwelt in Jerusalem in the second quarter, and they spoke with her. Then she said to them, thus says the Lord, God of Israel, tell the man who sent you, thus says the Lord, behold, I will bring calamity on this place and on its inhabitants, all the words of the book which the king Judah has read, because they have forsaken me and burned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all the works of their hands. Therefore, my wrath shall be aroused against this place and shall not be quenched. That was what was written. And Josiah is reading this. Look at this. But to the king of Judah, I want you to catch this now, because if you are walking in righteousness and holiness, if you are praising him and serving God with a pure heart, God will do what he did for Josiah. He will do it for us in the midst of judgment. Can I get an amen? Look at this. Who sent you to inquire the Lord? This matter you shall speak to him. Thus says the Lord God of Israel concerning the words which you have heard, because your heart was tender and you humbled yourself before the Lord when you heard what I spoke against this place and against its inhabitants, that they would become a desolation and a curse. And you tore your clothes and wept before me. I also have heard you, says the Lord. You want to get God's attention? Cry out in a heart of repentance. Can I get amen? Go to God and say, oh God, cleanse me, wash me, forgive me of my sin, God. That's what happened to Josiah. He was crying out for the people. Look at this. Surely, therefore, I will gather you to your fathers, and you shall be gathered to your grave in peace. In other words, Josiah never saw the invasion. He didn't see the Babylonians coming to destroy, like it was written that God said he would do. And so why? Because Josiah was in right standing with God. Look at this, and your eyes shall not see all, look at this, and your eyes shall not see all the calamity which I bring on this place. So they brought the word to the king. Wow, my goodness, isn't that something? God will always make a way. So saints of God, what was the message that the Lord sent to Josiah? What was it? The Lord saw Josiah's anguish over the wrong direction his nation was going. And his mercy, the Lord sent a message to the king through a prophetess named Huldah. Not Hookah, but Huldah. This is the message Josiah received. Judgment is coming to the nation because the people have turned against the Lord and his word. It is deserved. It is certain it will come to pass, and nothing can be done to stop it. So what did God do during this time? He gave the nation a reprieve. Why? Because righteousness was running the nation. Can we actually say that righteousness is running our nation right now? Or are you still living in a Disneyland fantasy? Matter of fact, I don't watch Disney Channel no more. I don't show our grandkids no more. They're promoting homosexuality there too. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Jesus. This is what God said. Behold, I bring evil on this place, on its inhabitants, even all the words of this book, which the king of Judah has read. And then we read it again, because they have forsaken me and have turned incense to other gods, that they might provoke me to anger with all their work and their hands. Therefore, my wrath burns against this place, and it shall not be what? Quenched. And so, saints, because Josiah's heart is so tender before the Lord, God had mercy. Let me just say this. God has had mercy on us. Because many of you, I know, have been serving him, have been praising him. We've been in ministry for 15 years because we love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, and mind. Can I get amen? And we want to continue to walk in the ways of the Lord. Can I get amen? Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And let me just say this. I want to go to this scripture right here. Look at this. I want you to catch this now. What has been, I'm reading this out of the NIV version. What has been will be again. And what has been done will be done again. There is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which one can say, look, this is something new. It was here already long ago. It was here before our time. There was no remembrance of men of old. Why? Because God had wiped them out. And even those who are not yet to come will not be remembered by those who follow. What does that mean? That means that what happened back in Sodom, what happened back then, will happen again. History will repeat itself. And we're headed that way. We're headed that way. Help us, Jesus. Help us, Lord. How many of us need help? Amen. You see, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but through me. Can I get amen? Amen. One of the things that was so profound, hallelujah, is coming to mind right now. In John chapter 11, Jesus was maybe 25 miles away from where his friend Lazarus had gotten sick. Can I get amen? And Jesus purposely waited 4 days to come to his aid. And finally, he gets to Bethany. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. And Martha and Mary said, Lord, if you would have been here, my brother would not have died. Did you catch that? My brother would not have died. Jesus, help us here. He said, where you laid him? He's in the tomb. But Lord, it's been 4 days and he stinketh by now. So here's the thing. They called for Jesus. Jesus waited purposely 4 days. Why did he wait 4 days? Because in 4 days, they didn't have no embalming or refrigeration. They had to wrap them in linen. But in 4 days, the skin worms start to take place on the body. And you know that person is dead. So Jesus waited. He waited. My goodness, my goodness. Now, they said, but Lord, if you would have been here, my brother wouldn't have died. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And those who live and die shall live again. Do you believe that? And they said, yes, we know that you are the resurrection. So they had faith in the past and they had faith in the future. But what Jesus was trying to get them to understand is to have faith for today. Can I get amen? He wanted to get them to a place that God would be glorified and magnified, that God would see a miracle right before them. Can I get amen? And so, where did you lay him? And they walked him over to the tomb. And he said, take away the stone. But Lord, he stinketh by now. And this is what the devil wants to do, what we just saw today. God wants to show you the homosexuality. He wants to show you the drive-by shootings. He wants to show you your backslidden family, and then he'll come and say, it's too late. wants to show you those who are on drugs and alcohol, those who are in prison, those who have done wrong, and the devil is saying, it's too late. My friends, what God is telling the church today is to take ye away the stone. And what is the stone? The stone is doubt and unbelief. You got to believe God, that God can restore marriages. You got to believe God, God can restore your family. You got to believe God, God can deliver your family. Can I get an amen? You got to believe that God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we could ever think and ask and hope for. You see, the devil will tell you, you got no more money in your bank account and it's too late. Well, that's right. Oh, I only got $10 now. Yeah, it's too late. You can't do nothing with that. Some of us started out 10 years ago with one bottle of medicine in the cabinet. Now we got 20. And the devil will tell you it's too late. That's right. COVID just came. And the devil is saying it's too late. But Jesus is saying, take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. Take ye away the stone. Hallelujah. We got to have faith for today. Can I get an amen? He said, where have you laid them? They said, he's taking away the stone. So he walked in. And notice he said this. He said, Lazarus, come forth. He didn't just go in there and say, all right, get up. All the graves would have got up. He told Lazarus, come forth. I need you to put your name right there. He said, Fee, come forth. Because one time we were dead in transgressions and sins that God raised up. Hallelujah. God raised us up from a dead state. Can I get an amen? Hallelujah. Well, that's right. We were downtrodden. We were cast away. I have 11 brothers and sisters. They all forsook me. Oh, that's right. And yet God, in his mercy, in his grace, came and quickened us. We were dead. We couldn't move. Like Tuesday, we saw Brother Leroy's body in that coffin. That's where we were. We couldn't move. Hallelujah. We were dead. Hallelujah. Spiritually. See, we're alive physically, but we were dead spiritually. And God had to quicken us, make us come alive. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, Jesus. And now he drew us to the cross. He gave us a mind to be saved. He gave us a heart to repent. Hallelujah. He made us cry out to God. He made us see what our sin was really. And we became sorrowful for our sin. Hallelujah. And once you become sorrowful for your sin and you cry out, that's when God shows up in a mighty way. Hallelujah. He's not about easy believism. Oh, yeah, I believe. Yeah, thank you. And still go home and live like the devil. No, you need a real encounter with the living God. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. You need God to do something mighty in your life. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. How many want God to do something mighty in your life? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stand to your feet right now. Hallelujah. I want you guys, those of you that want something God to do in your life, come to this altar right now. Hallelujah. I feel the Holy Ghost moving right now. God is saying right now, hallelujah, hallelujah. You've been praying, hallelujah. You've been wanting things that God to move mightily. God is saying, first, turn your heart to me. Hallelujah. Lay your heart at the cross. Lay your, hallelujah. God wants to do something that you cannot do for yourself. Can I get amen? God wants to do the miraculous. God wants to raise up from the guttermost to the uttermost. God wants to do, he wants to heal your body. Hallelujah. He wants to restore relationships, Some of you are out of relationship right now with people in your life, and God wants to restore that. Can I get an amen? Come on, lift up your hands to Jesus. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands right now. Hallelujah. This is a time right now to cry out. Hallelujah. To seek the Lord with your whole heart. Hallelujah. This is time saying, oh, say this with me. Oh God. One more time. Oh God. I stand before you in faith. Oh God, you know my heart. You know my ways. You know my situation. Oh God, I need you now to restore those things in my life, to restore my health, to restore my finances, to restore my relationships. Oh God, help me. Help me to learn to grow in the grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Ask God right now, hallelujah, to give you fresh fire. Hallelujah. Fire from above. Hallelujah. Just open your mouth and start praising Him. Come on, just start praising Him. Let Him fill, hallelujah, your being with His presence, with His power. In the name of Jesus, let God have His way. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Yes, Lord. In the name of Jesus. Yes, God.
Fill us with your fire.
In the name of Jesus. Yes, God. Hallelujah.
Fill us with your fire.
In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Yes, Lord. Hallelujah.
Fill us with your fire.
Continue to worship. Hallelujah. Come on. Give God worship and praise right now. Hallelujah. Worship Him. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Saints of God, I'm telling you, God is doing something mighty in your lives. Hallelujah. God wants to take you higher with Him, further with Him. Hallelujah. And God will put a shield and a buckler around you. Can I get amen? Hallelujah. What the enemy has made for evil, God will turn it around and make it for good. Can I get amen? God loves you. God wants to bless your life. Can I get amen? This word came so that we would see what time it is. Can I get amen? But not to be fearful, but to be faithful. Hallelujah. To be faithful. Stay faithful to God. And God, hallelujah, will look at you like a Josiah. That's right. Hallelujah. Man, I got so much joy right now. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Jesus.
Yes.
Worship the King. Hallelujah. Oh, come on. Hallelujah. Come on. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
You are worthy of it, oh Jesus.
In the name of Jesus. Yes, God.
For from you are all
things. Yes, God.
Jesus. To you are all things.
Yes.
You deserve the glory. We exalt
yes,
thee.
God.
Let's
fill
exalt him with our mouths. Come on.
Power,
we exalt thee.
And if you've never given your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, cry out right now. We're all going to pray. I'll pray with you. And then we're going to sign off. But saints of God, pray with me as we pray for them. Dear Lord Jesus, I thank you for my life. I do believe on your death, burial, and resurrection. I believe that you died for me. And the blood that you shed on the cross will cleanse me of all my sins. Lord Jesus, I ask you now, God, forgive me for every sin. Come into my heart. Make me a new person. Jesus, this day will do my best to honor you.
The Bible says, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remissions of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you, and to your children, and to all that are afar off, as many as the Lord God will call. And that's our exhortation to you. We have many ministries available here for you at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship. For a complete list of them, and to download all of our messages and sermons, please log on to our website at www.acts2-38-39.com or email us at amazing_grace@cox.net. From all of us here at Amazing Grace Christian Fellowship, may God bless you and thank you for listening.